Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and he's being ably assisted by our fine intern, Madison. It's great to see Madison's big smile as well on the other side of the glass. She's been with us all week and has done a very fine job, and she has she shows up on time. So that's, for starters, that's wonderful for an intern and really for anybody. Madison, you got a great work ethic and great future ahead for you. It is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. The program is also re-airing on Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI. A big shout out to some of the folks. We like to do this on Friday, but their thoughts are with us the rest, or our thoughts are with them the rest of the week as well. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, the editor, publisher with us here in studio. Dylan, thank you, for your support.
Absolutely.
With TucsonSentinel.com and the great things you folks are doing. Inside Tucson Business, thank you. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun support us. TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans blog site. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. David Couillère, director of the University of Arizona School of Journalism. He is former president of the National Society of Professional Journalists. That's the national organization of working journalists across the country. He's also a board member for the Arizona First Amendment Coalition and a former newspaper reporter and editor. Joining me, as I say, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 for questions and comments on the live line. David, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, your op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic was spot on, I think, last Sunday in the Republic, the op-ed piece. And as you point out, it's not like this is really anything new, what Donald Trump, the focusing on the press. I mean, there were some problems. Journalists had problems with the Obama administration as well.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I would say he had the most secretive presidential administration in modern history, despite claiming to be the most transparent. He played a lot of games with information and misinformation and control, and it was something we took him to task several times for.
Now, the being a good friend of the president really isn't really a badge of honor, is it?
No. You know, this whole system, our democracy set up so the press is not a friend. It's an adversary. The press is set to be an independent a check on government. So I hope there's no journalist who's a friend of the president or the mayor or the governor. That's not their role. Their role is to question, be skeptical, and hold them accountable on behalf of the public. So I think
to give them a high five when the rare occasions they actually get something right.
Oh, sure.
We should let people know about that as well. It doesn't need to. The word you use, adversary, I don't think requires us to always be negative. Requires us to question and pay attention.
Sure. Right? Basically, just give people the information they need to make good decisions.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Dylan, the organization you are a part of, Lion Publishers, which Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online Publishers.
Online News Publishers.
Online News Publishers, joined with the Arizona Press Club this week.
Yeah.
And they were joining with a bunch of other dozens of organizations around the country in pretty much calling out President Trump.
About 150 journalism groups, including Lion Publishers, the Arizona Press Club, a number of other state-level journalism organizations from around the country, the Society for Professional Journalists, American Society of News Editors, on and on. You know, journalists are pretty good about forming organizations about things. We like to talk about reporting as much as we like to do reporting sometimes. But, you know, it's problematic when we take the step in that adversarial relationship where you have the president calling the press an enemy of the people. You know, that really shows a in my opinion and the opinion of, you know, the tens of thousands of journalists who are represented by all these organizations, that you know, that disrespects the role that reporters play. And that doesn't mean just, you know, the liberal reporters.
Right.
You know, it was certainly the job of Fox News to challenge President Obama just as much as it was, that you know, their job to challenge President Trump now.
And well,
when you have the administration, you know, purposefully excluding reporters from giving information that they are, you know, while they're meeting with the people that they think are going to put the favorable spin on it, you know, excluding reporters from White House meetings based on what they think they're going to report, and only giving it to the ones who are going to put the, you know, the shiny gloss on it, is troubling, I think.
Oh yeah, and I have a big problem with that. It took it to a whole new level. It's okay to have problems with the press. It's okay to question, to be critical.
We don't mind that.
Right. At times, and so that's okay. But to demonize the whole press, basically, and he's singling out specific media outlets he doesn't like. It takes it down a dangerous road. I mean, if there's a Democrat who gets into the presidency next round, are people going to be fine with that person excluding Fox News?
Well, that did happen for a period. There was a period when President Obama purposefully froze out some specific Fox News reporters from briefings.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened?
Mm-mm.
The rest of the press refused to go to those briefings.
Mm-hmm. And stood up for them.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Stood up for their colleagues. If you are not going to tell them, we're not going to listen to you.
Right. It's just the verbiage that just continues to amplify, and that's, I think, the concern that everybody should have, because you know, it's one thing to kill the messenger, but we really don't want to see people killed.
Well, and neither do we want to lose the message itself. You know, like you said, it's one thing to Donald Trump or a local politician to jump up and down about something that was reported that they don't like, but to get away from the idea that there is a set of facts out there to be gotten at by people doing the work of reporting, you know, to undermine the process by which people become informed about their community or about their nation. And that's really the road we're trending down, not just with Trump spouting off about this, but, you know, coming from the left, you know, ridiculous websites like the Palmer Report that are, you know, just as much fake news as any of the right-wing garbage we saw over the past year. You know, people, please stop sharing this garbage on Facebook.
And what is dangerous about this, David, is this enemy of the people that's been used to put people up against the wall in other countries and before a firing squad.
I think that's what really triggered the response, was those words are the words we've seen in history that dictators and tyrants use. Those are the words we see in Arnold Schwarzenegger sci-fi flicks that scare us.
And do we want to live in an Arnold sci-fi dystopian movie?
Well, only if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, I don't think, want to. So I think it's those words and the actions that have followed, the excluding certain people from briefings, and we have to watch really closely where this goes. It really distracts from what we should all be focused on, and that is the issues and the issues that we really care about, and we need to stay focused on that. These other things are really distractions.
Yeah, the issues, what Trump proposes to do, what he is doing, how he's going to pay for it.
Yeah, what's going to happen with our taxes and our services, and how are we going to be as a country?
You know, they came up with, to pay for the wall, which the Trump administration has said will cost about $21 billion to build. They've come up with $20 million in the budget for it. You know, you're a few decimal places off there.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to start to take this on a more of a local Arizona basis, and some threats Perhaps here to Arizona's open meeting law. We'll talk with David Coulier about that, and Dylan Smith also sticks around, but it is our end of the week music mix on the Buckmaster Show. Our bump music today, let's hear a little bit of Sting.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo, plus our monthly visit with the former United States Army Chief of Staff, General John Wickham. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got your worldwide live listening, the podcast, 6 years worth of shows, archived at buckmastershow.com.
Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. But if you're listening Saturday afternoon, it's our Saturday afternoon edition because the Friday program is re-aired at 4 o'clock.
This is going to be so good that you have to air it twice.
Huh? Yeah, it's so good you have to air it twice. That's Dylan Smith, editor, publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. David Coulier is here. David is the director of the UA School of Journalism. He is the former president of the National Society of Professional Journalists. By saying former, that means, David, that your frequent flyer miles have been cut down dramatically, I imagine, not doing as much traveling around the country, right?
I wish. Actually, I'm traveling more.
More? Huh.
Well, he's still a nationally renowned freedom of information expert.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that. I just say
flying to the White House to give input.
I would just say that the press is very active right now.
Very.
So there are a lot of meetings going on.
Has the national media overreacted to the stinging criticism from the president?
I think so. I think they're not used to this president and how he acts. I'd say reporters in Everyday America, Yuma, Flagstaff, Tucson are used to this. We see politicians jumping right into office without prior experience, just like Trump is. And so I think most reporters are kind of used to this behavior and see it a lot. The national press isn't used to it. So, but I don't blame him for taking things very seriously, because it is the president of the United States, most powerful person
in
the world.
Perhaps there are some reporters who have taken Trump and the actions of his administration a little bit too personally, perhaps. And yeah, you're right, Dave, that here in the trenches at the local level, we're very used to having politicians who are a little bit raw, having some very raw reactions to our work. And, that's pretty much just water off a duck's back. And if you're a little bit more, if you're used to a little bit more polished environment, that might be a little bit more troubling on a personal level. On a professional level, like I was talking about before, I think it's, problematic when we just have not just what President Trump is doing, but all over the place, an undermining of the idea that somewhere there is objective, discernible truth. And, to me, that's a rather conservative concept, that somewhere out there, there are things that are beyond moral and political relativity, but there are actual facts that we can go dig up and tell people about.
David, I want to talk a little bit about what is called Arizona's open meeting law and how that applies to the search that's been going on for the replacement, the new University of Arizona president, who will be replacing UA president Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. We've been told there are two finalists, a gentleman who works up at ASU, another who is in the University of Texas medical health care system. Those are the two finalists, we've been told. When I came here in 1988, and I've been through a few of these University of Arizona presidential searches, it used to be we would bring as many as five finalists to campus for a completely open process. Not only faculty, students, but the community welcomed to come and ask questions and meet this potential head of the university. Are you troubled that what you're seeing with this process?
Well, what I could say is the Board of Regents have violated state law. If you request the CVs of the candidates, you should be able to see those, not just the two finalists, but all the candidates they interviewed. And they have not allowed people to see that. And that's a violation of the state public records law, hands down.
Very clearly.
There's no question about it. It's black and white. I mean, that's just, they could spin it all they want that this process is transparent. And that's a matter of opinion. But the bottom line is they've broken the law.
And they should know this because for those folks out there listening who aren't aware, the Board of Regents should very clearly know this because a number of years back they were sued over this, and the Arizona Supreme Court, told them they were breaking the law by not releasing the names and records of people who were candidates to be a university president. There's an Arizona Supreme Court case with the name of the Arizona Board of Regents on it. They should know it.
And anybody can read it. Yeah, Phoenix newspapers versus Board of Regents. Everybody can read it. They could see clearly what the law is. And the university didn't follow the law last time when it hired our current outgoing president. The Tucson Unified School District wasn't following the law in 2013 in the same fashion. Now, the Arizona Daily Star spoke up and they sued the school district and easily won based on this.
But those names didn't come out until 2 months after they'd already made the decision, because court cases take a long time.
They do, and that's the problem, and it's stacked against the citizens. So the regents break the law. What happens? There's no police that gives them a citation or throws them in jail. The only recourse is for a citizen or news organization to sue the regents.
Do you expect that will happen?
Well, they could. Anybody could hire an attorney and sue the regents right now.
Probably easily win.
Well, they would easily win. Anyone who sues will easily win the case. And in this case, they might even get their attorney fees paid because it's so blatant and outrageous what they're doing. And really, it goes beyond the law. I think we have to step back and look at what's best for the University of Arizona, what's best for the students, the faculty, staff, the donors, the public, taxpayers. What's best is transparency. Research is clear. When governments are transparent, it builds credibility and trust from the public. What they are doing, regardless of the law, is hurting the credibility of the process, of the regents, of the university, the system, and frankly, of the president they're going to hire. This president coming in will have less legitimacy because of what they're doing.
Because they're making the decision behind closed doors.
How are we to know who else they considered? I mean, there were internal candidates that are well-respected on our campus, and they're apparently, we don't even know if they were considered. Were there minority candidates considered? Were there people within the state, outside the state? How do we know? And we have no input. We're just ignored as a population.
And without knowing those other candidates, you can't really go to the regents and ask them why they chose these people. Why were these other people passed over for any specific reason? You know, you can't effectively get at why these folks were picked without knowing the pool that they came out of.
And they will tell you, the regents will say, this is the way it works because this is the way we get very good people, because if we are to open the process, they would say that those people would be afraid they would lose their current jobs.
And funny, the regents argued that 25 years ago in the state Supreme Court case. They had people testify saying, oh, this is going to hurt us if this is public. And they had people testifying against it saying it's not that big of a deal. And ultimately, the state Supreme Court said, the tie goes to the people. Some candidates will be uncomfortable. Sorry, but the public interest outweighs that. It's more important for such a critical, huge position that the public see what's going on and have that information. So that's how it should be. We win if it's public. And I mean we, I mean the taxpayers, the community, the students, the faculty, all of us.
Did we ever learn when Dr. Hart was hired who the other candidates were?
No. Dr. Hart was the finalist.
The one.
She was the single finalist. So we didn't know who else was considered. That's a sham.
And that's because no one stepped forward to actually
sue. No one questioned and sued. And I was disappointed at the time.
People questioned plenty, but trying to come up with the money for a lawsuit in a time of very you know, limited newsroom budgets, it gets tougher and tougher, and you have to choose your battles.
And the regions,
there are plenty of cases I would love to sue about over, you know, records that are not being disclosed by politicians.
That's true,
and
Dylan.
You know, if people want to, you know, support us and, you know, get that rolling so that people know what the heck their government officials are doing.
And the region said that they're just going on the advice of the hired commercial headhunter firm. But that's just shifting the blame. And sure, it's in the best interest of the headhunters to have this secret. It helps them a lot, but it doesn't help us. And as a result, the university, I'm afraid, will have less credibility, and the incoming president will have less credibility. And that's who's going to be hurt here, is all of us. And that's too bad.
It's a fine point, but people out there should know that the names that are required by law to be disclosed are candidates, and the Supreme Court laid out what that is. It's not just anybody who sort of expresses some interest and contacts the headhunting firm. But if somebody has, you know,
done an interview,
specifically if you've been interviewed, you know, if you are expressing that level of interest in the position that you come in and you are interviewed for it, then your name should be public. People should know that you are part of that pool. It's not just that you know, called up the headhunter and said, hey, how much does this pay? Mm-hmm. And they wrote down your name and sent you an email back. You know, that I kind of understand.
That would just be considered an inquiry.
Yeah, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who hit that sort of level. But if you are a candidate, your name should a public record.
And the court defined that as someone who's seriously considered and interviewed by the hiring committee. So the hiring committee seriously considered and interviewed a bunch of people several weeks ago.
And we should know who they are.
We should know. Back
Absolutely.
In 1991, that was 17 people that counted in that category. And their resumes were revealed and given to the public. We should have gotten the same thing this time around.
How long did it take for that? That must have taken months to find out, though.
It did, and it was after the fact. Yeah. And if someone sues in this case, it'll be after the fact.
Months, many months.
And
the problem is that you know, not just the regents, but plenty of politicians keep doing this over and over and over again, because there are the legal repercussions for them are, you know, really not there, other than public shame. Which should attach itself,
or the expenditure of tax dollars to pay for the attorney fees of the plaintiffs, anybody who sues, so taxpayers lose,
and the defense. I mean, they got to hire a lawyer to go to court.
They're creating a liability for taxpayers by doing this.
David Coulier, thank you very much, David Coulier, heading up the journalism over at the University of Arizona, and. As we mentioned, he's on the national stage, Dylan, when it comes to...
He's a big shot. Yeah,
I have to say, you may not know this, but Dylan's a big cheese.
Is
nationally.
He?
Is.
Go ahead.
He is. No, he's in charge
Give
of
him
this
a plug.
Whole organization that is going to emerge and, frankly, replace all the other journalists when we're all online.
The online.
So, Dylan, people may not know this. Mm-hmm. Nationally, he's a big dude.
Wow. I'm honored that he's on the show.
And I got to say, today is actually the journalism intern fair over at David's department. I'm interviewing a bunch of very bright young journalists coming out of his program who are looking for internships, trying to get some experience.
And,
it's always good to see, enthusiasm and skill. And you guys are doing a good job over there.
Well, thanks. They're great. And I may or may not have a job there after today anyway, but we'll see.
After this program.
Maybe you've got tenure, right?
Maybe the only good thing about tenure.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. When we come back, Jim Nitzel joins us from the Tucson Weekly. He's on the live line. Dylan sticks around, as do I. We'll be right back.
I know Jesus is on that main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on that main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on that main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant.
capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Stop and stare. When will Jesus find us here? Could we survive?
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com and Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly, longtime scribe at the Weekly. And congratulations, Jim, on your new addition to your family at home.
Yeah, little Isabel Popcorn Nintzel is doing great. Actually, it's Isabel Margaret Nintzel. She's doing great.
Already have the kids' names confused. No, it's
my daughter Olivia really liked the name Popcorn. Although lately she wants to change it to Tiana.
Oh.
So I think
her own name or her.
She wants to change the baby sister's name to Tiana. It turns out my child is apparently more urban than I realized. And, got a lot of soul in that kid. So, but mama and daughter are both doing well, and
that's wonderful.
We'll get to the point where she sleeps for the night. I'm confident.
You're hoping.
I'm fully confident.
Hey Jim, this week's column in the Skinny, your long-running column that has been on the Weekly for many years, you talk about this dust-up with Congresswoman McSally. Has some of that died down now that she has done a real face-to-face town hall, the one that was done down in Green Valley, or Sahorita,
yeah,
excuse me?
I think it has. You know, Congresswoman McSally was meeting with some folks who were asking her to do a town hall. She said she would think about it. They sort of planned their own separate town hall where they were going to say that Congresswoman McSally didn't come to it. Then she scheduled her own to kind of short-circuit them. And at the end of that, I think she got a lot of unhappy people talking to her at that town hall. She said she's willing to do more of them, and maybe with the group that wanted her to do them in the first place. So we'll see where things go from here. But I think the folks who are unhappy about Martha McSally aren't going to go away. They're going to continue to press her on a whole bunch of issues ranging from immigration to the Affordable Care Act to Planned Parenthood and beyond.
And a candidate will need to emerge pretty quickly, Dylan, if they're going to kind of coalesce around somebody to challenge Martha McSally.
I was speaking with somebody who was floating a trial balloon about jumping into that race. I can't say who.
Don't want to share it with
her.
Well,
I can't. It was sort of an off-the-record discussion.
Okay.
And just,
okay.
You know, talking about the challenges of that race. And, you know, if you want to be the Democrat to take on Martha McSally, you need to already be raising money.
That's true.
You know, seriously, you need to raise thousands of dollars every day, you know, 7 days a week from here through Election Day. And if you're not ready to do that, you're probably not ready to run for that office. I mean, you know, it's tough to tackle an incumbent congressperson. And even though the district is still pretty divided, somebody who's been around, people have voted for, that has some name recognition, it would be, I think, a pretty tough battle to oust her. Not that it'd be impossible. There could be a really solid Democratic candidate out there who could do the job, but they're going to have to start working really hard right now.
If Trump's disapproval ratings continue to go down, they did go up after the speech, the not called the State of the Union, I guess, addressed to Congress. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to guess that it was Blake Morlock that Dylan was talking to about this campaign.
Well, no, Blake is not thinking of running for office. This is somebody who was, you know, sort of pondering jumping in.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Tom is... I was going to say...
Tom,
go ahead. Tom has a question for our two journalists here in the studio and for Jim Nintzel. Go ahead, Tom.
Jim, do you think Trump will be impeached next year?
Okay.
I do not think that Trump will be impeached because unless something very dramatic happens that really forces Republicans to impeach him, because I think the Republican base still likes Trump a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Republican lawmakers end up turning on him, then they're going to cook their own goose among their own voters. So I think it's going to take something really dramatic, a very dramatic revelation to lead them to move towards impeachment of the president.
Oh, okay.
You know, certainly the politics of that involve a lot of moving parts. One, the Republicans want to get an agenda pushed through Congress. There are some laws that they want to pass, others they want to get rid of. And they're not going to shake things up anytime soon until that's done.
All right.
After that, depending on what the general public thinks of what Trump is doing, has done, will certainly play into it. It might reach a point where the members of Congress need to, you know, build a wall, really, to coin a phrase, between them and Trump. And if it comes down to that, then we could see a move to impeach. Whether an impeachment, you know, really involves two things. Will the House impeach him, and would the Senate actually move ahead and remove him from office, which is a huge step?
I think Jim would join me in giving kudos to Dylan and Blake over at the team at TucsonSentinel.com for pushing TUSD to release the terms of the agreement, 7 points, 6 points in the agreement, the separation agreement with Dr. H.T. Sanchez this week.
That's a nice chunk of money, $200,000 that they're paying him to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And, interestingly, it's not as much as it could have been under his contract. Really, he gave up $300,000 to put essentially a contractual gag order on his three critics on the governing board.
Did you have to push, though, to get this information?
The district staff didn't really want to hand it over. They were dragging their feet, saying, "Oh, we don't know if we can release that. I don't know. We're not supposed to."
Of course, it is public.
We don't have a copy of it here, et cetera, et cetera. And I and a reporter from the Arizona Daily Star were the only journalists still hanging around, even while the meeting was still going on. Everybody else packed up and left after they got what they thought was the headline.
Jim,
and we pushed and pushed and finally, you know, buttonholed the general counsel for the district. And I rather forcefully explained that this was a public record and legally they had to hand it over. And, to his credit, he acknowledged it. You know, this took some work getting to that point, but, and pulled out his cell phone and emailed it to us.
Jim, you've been around a long time, as have I. The saga of TUSD just gets more curious, doesn't it?
It does. And with the non-disparagement clause in effect, we're not going to hear from the majority exactly why they decided that they wanted to get rid of H.T. Sanchez. But he was the longest-lasting superintendent in quite some time. And the turnover there has been, I think, very bad for the district in terms of having some continuity and having some leadership at the top that you feel like is actually going to be able to address the problems and not just kind of push them around before they head off to their next job. And I think that's a significant problem that you've had that much turnover there. And I think TUSD is beset by there's a lot of good stuff that happens in TUSD. It's not a dumpster fire, but there's a lot of problems within the district as well, as you would expect with a very large and
some minor garbage can
district.
Fires.
Minor garbage.
There are definitely some garbage can fires in the bathroom, without a doubt.
Well, they certainly, they have an enrollment issue, certainly. The enrollment keeps dropping.
Part of that is demographic. It's not just, you know, if there are actually, you know, not as many kids to go to school, enrollment will fall. They have, you know, had challenges from charter schools and, kids going to other districts and such, but it's not entirely down to, you know, children are fleeing the district and, you know, by the thousands. It's
slow erosion.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
So now
a lot of other legal issues. The desegregation lawsuit creates a whole bunch of legal hurdles for people to jump through, and there's a bunch of stuff going on in that district that makes it very difficult to run it, and it's going to be a challenge, I think, to recruit someone to come in and take it over.
Well, somebody's, you know, for somebody to come in and, quote unquote, fix TUSD would be one heck of a resume builder.
Yeah, it would be. But then there's we had Michael Hicks, the president of the board, on yesterday saying his choice would be to go local. And as for H.T. Sanchez, looks like he could easily land on his feet. There's at least 20 top superintendent jobs in Texas alone that pay a lot of money. So I suspect he'll land on his feet.
Well, you know, he's effectively made it so that his chief critics here in Tucson can't talk about him. Mm-hmm. Well, they can say nice things about him.
So
they
when
can't
someone
say bad things about him.
So when he says, "Here's a job reference,"
yeah. Well, not that they haven't said things before.
Call Michael and, Hicks or call Dr. Mark Stegman for reference.
But you know, I think by now, of course, we've seen some unusual search cases here in Tucson where people working for search firms didn't know how to use Google. But you know, I think most of the headhunting firms have figured out how to run a Google search on people, so they can point out some of the things that have been said previously about Sanchez's tenure here.
All right, Jim Nitzel, we'll let you get back to the new arrival at the household. So you're getting a little sleep, I guess. The baby's up every 2 hours.
It's every 2 to 3. She has a little bit of an appetite. Demands a little bit of attention from me, without a doubt. But she's amazing. I am blessed beyond belief.
And I saw that lovely picture on Facebook with the older child going to her first movie. That was cool. Moana, is that what you two visited?
She had a great time at Moana. We're going to go see Sing this weekend to try to see if she can behave just as well.
But don't push it.
The real revelation at this point is she discovered my DV set of Looney Tunes cartoons. So we've been watching a lot of those lately, and I'm a very proud father.
Well, that's okay. Tremendous.
Have a great weekend, Jim. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks so much. Bye.
All right. Dylan, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
We'll find out what Matt Russell has, some suggestions on his weekend watch for some great dining locations and other fun on the weekend. That's next.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental and Commerce Bank of Arizona. Be sure to bookmark your calendar for the Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting 130,000 book lovers to the beautiful U of A Mall and nearby venues for exhibits, author presentations, and panel discussions. The Tucson Festival of Books is very grateful for the generosity of all of our sponsors. All proceeds from the festival are directed to improving literacy rates in our local communities. Please join us as a sponsor and to make Tucson and Southern Arizona well-read. For sponsorship opportunities, visit us online at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org. That's TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, proudly presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour road trip, basically, over to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. So much to do in Silver City, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Check out the website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the full listing of the great places to stay and the many recreational opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated Tucson foodie, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great on this delicious Friday, Bill. We made it through the week.
Another opening, another show.
I tell you what, I can hardly keep track, but you know, the spring season is officially in sight, so I thought for Weekend Watch we'd celebrate all the great places where you could dine and libate outside. And I say let's start with the brand new Garage.
What?
On the corner of University Boulevard and 4th Avenue. Now, this is an old converted auto repair shop from the 50s. Kind of takes you back in time in terms of setting, but the food is all about today's favorites. You can hang out on the patio with some charred guacamole, tacos, burgers, all the classics. Wash them down Weekend Watch style with some local craft beers and some great cocktails. It's definitely full service at this garage, Bill. A great place to start the weekend.
I see you at the garage. How about the Lord of the Wings?
Yeah, you know, my family hails, as you know, from Buffalo, New York, and I've been a connoisseur of chicken wings for most of my life, which is why I am so excited for the annual Lord of the Wings Chicken Wing Challenge. It's tomorrow at Rialto Racetrack Park. More than 30 restaurants are going to be coming together at about noon to celebrate the greatest wings across the Old Pueblo. You'll have the opportunity to taste them all from mild to incendiary and cast your vote for your favorite. There's also going to be a hot wing eating contest, lots of great beers, live music. One lucky winner is going to be crowned Lord of the Wings. May the best wing win, Bill.
Keep a fire extinguisher handy. What's going on over at the Public House?
Yeah, you know, when a cocktail gets its own official day, you must include it on your calendar. And today is no exception with National Moscow Mule Day. Now, there are many mules running around town, of course, with vodka, ginger beer, and lime juice. But I like the mule menu at Union Public House, of course, in St. Philip's Plaza. Their Moscow Mule was voted the best mule in the state. But there are also Kentucky mules, Milano mules, London mules, all kinds of great mules. You know, it took an act of Congress to commemorate the mule, so do your civic duty and enjoy one today.
What's in the column this week?
Well, Bill, my bucket list is one item shorter now that I've had the chance to do something that I've never done before on my culinary and cocktail journey. It's called cracking a bung, and you can read all about the historic milestone in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
I think we can say that on the radio. Thank you so much. Matt, have a great weekend, my friend.
Right back to you, Bill.
All right. We've got such great programming here on the weekends. Tune in to Swap Shop Sunday to buy, sell, and trade and have fun with Charles. Charles might make fun of your stuff. Probably a sure bet he will. Liberty Watch at noon with Mr. Heller on a new study on drug legalization with Dr. William Bogart also on Sunday. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. On behalf of all of our team here at KVOI, by the way, our original music on the program is fine German composer Christophan. You can find out about his work on my website, buckmastershow.com. Special thanks to Tom Fairbanks today for engineering and producing the show, ably assisted by Madison, the intern. Madison, it was fun having you here this week. You did a great job on the other side of the glass. So on behalf of everybody, including my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we wish you a happy weekend. Back with you Monday.